I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. And if there are any guests in our midst, also a hearty welcome. We want to come together and nourish our soul from God's word and have fellowship together. But before we continue this morning's service, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, a day where we can come together as your family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and worship your holy name. We ask that you be here in our midst in spirit this morning and keep our minds concentrated on the many beautiful blessings of life, and that we might not complain about our circumstances. And we thank you for another beautiful summer and the rains that we all prayed for. And more importantly, help us to remember how your son Jesus had to suffer and die a painful death on the cross, so that every person who believes in him may have abundant life here in this life and everlasting life in heaven. We pray this in the name who has made it all possible, your son and our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Stick our red book and turn to number 6. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer. Number 6.
Blessed hour of prayer, blessed hour of prayer. Number 21, how sweetly chime the Sabbath bells. Number 21.
Now, we have all looked into the mirror this morning. So what were your thoughts? That mirror is very honest, isn't it? Some of you might have said, I'm too thin, I'm too heavy, I'm too small, I'm too tall, too many wrinkles, not enough hair, and so on. But has anyone ever thought of how wonderful we have been made? Whenever we want to see a miracle, we just need to go and look into a mirror. There are many interesting facts about our body that we would have to acknowledge that all of this can only be made by a wonderful God. And this morning we want to look at a part of this creation, this beautiful creation. We want to talk about the tongue, something we take so much for granted, but the tongue is so powerful. The tongue can be used for use and abuse. We first of all want to go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now, whenever a doctor, it used to be at least, when a doctor examined a patient, usually the first things he did was he looked at the tongue. And when he looked at the tongue, he could diagnose a lot of physical problems. And spiritually, the tongue is also a good indication of an individual's spiritual condition. Some individuals, if they would leave out their vulgar language, they would lose half of their vocabulary. The power of speech is one of the greatest powers that God has given us. With the tongue, man can praise God. He can pray. He can preach God's word and lead the lost to Christ. What a privilege. But with the same tongue, he can tell lies that would ruin a man's reputation or break a person's heart. The ability to speak words is the ability to influence others and accomplish tremendous tasks. And yet, we take this ability for granted. But as someone said, watch your tongue. It is in a wet place, and it is easy to slip. Now, when we go back to James, Apostle Paul introduces the subject of the tongue by a warning against the hasty desire to be a teacher of the word. Now, this does not mean that those that are called by God to preach the word can use this as an excuse to neglect their calling. It is simply a warning that the ministry should not be taken lightly. It has a tremendous responsibility and accountability. Those who teach the word of God face the stricter judgment. And then in verse 2, James moves from the specific ministry of teaching to our day-to-day conversations. As Christians, we have to admit that we stumble in many ways and sins of the tongue. Yes, the tongue seems to be the head of the list. But if anyone can control his tongue so that he does not commit the various sins of speech, is truly well-disciplined. If one can control his speech, he should not have a difficulty in practicing self-control. Self-control in other areas of life as well. But the tongue can defile the whole body. The tongue can destroy other people. We have no idea how much damage has been done in this world by the tongue. And I believe that all of us would have to admit that we have said words that we regretted. We have all said words that hurt other people. And we also have been at the receiving end of where someone has said some hurtful words to us. We know the damage that the words can do. Our tongue often shows how mature we are. Can we use self-control when we speak? Or do we speak whatever comes to our mind? Apostle Paul goes on and gives us some pictures or comparisons to the tongue. First of all, he compares the tongue to a bit. There's a bridle that'll fit over the horse's head, and this bridle holds the bit into the horse's mouth. And to this bit are connected reins. And though this bit is a very small piece of steel, yet if a person can control that bit, it can control the horse. And so can the tongue direct the life of someone, either for good or for evil. Another example that Apostle Paul gives us is the rudder of a ship. A small rudder enables the captain to steer the huge ship, but it is not that simple. Both the bit and the rudder must overcome contrary forces. The bit must overcome the wild nature of the horse, and the rudder must fight the winds and the strong currents that would drive the ship off its course. And the human tongue also must overcome contrary forces. We have an old nature. We have an old nature that wants to control us and lead us into sin. There are circumstances around us that would make us say things we ought not to say. But sin on the inside and pressures on the outside are seeking to get control of our tongue. This means that both the bit and the rudder must be under the control of a strong hand. The expert horseman keeps the mighty power of his horse under control. And the experienced captain courageously steers the ship through the storm. Now, when Jesus controls the tongue, we need not fear to say the wrong things. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, warned Solomon in Proverbs 18:21. It's no wonder that David prayed for the Lord to keep watch over his mouth in Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. When Jesus Christ is the Lord of our heart, then he is also Lord of our lips. The bit and the rudder, they have the power to direct, which means that they affect the lives of others. An uncontrolled horse or an uncontrolled ship could mean injury or death to someone. And the words we speak also affect the lives of others. even a simple yes or no, can greatly affect someone. Never underestimate the guidance you give by the words you speak or do not speak. When we look at the Apostle Peter at Pentecost, what happened to the words that he spoke? There were 3,000 souls that came to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ in Acts 2. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and her life and the life of her neighbors experienced a miraculous change. It would do us all good to read the book of Proverbs from time to time, especially the many references to speech. It's a tongue, is like a bit and a rudder. It has power to direct. How important it is that our tongues direct people in the right way. Amen. Before we go on this topic, I want to give you all the opportunity, whoever's able, to go on bended knee and pray for whatever lies on your heart. And so let us all kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 96. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. So this is a new song. We're going to go over the first verse slower, and then we'll start at the beginning and go through the whole song at a higher pace. So, number 96, let's all stand.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Yes, heaven did come down. Reminds me of a in scripture when Jesus was asked by some people, tell us about the kingdom of God. And what was his answer? He says, it's within you. So we can be sure that we are already living this heaven. Of course, not as in fulfillment, but it is all within us. We want to continue in James chapter 3, starting with verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Yes, a fire can start from so small a spark, but it can grow and destroy forests and buildings, especially what we've seen this summer. And at times, people also get caught up in a fire and die. And so can also our words start fires. But where there is no wood, the fire will go out. So where there is no gossiper, the gossip ceases. And as wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Like a fire, the tongue can heat things up. Psalm chapter 39. Psalm chapter 39, verses 1 to 3. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burnt. Then spake I with my tongue. Have you ever had that kind of an experience? I'm sure you have. You had to bite your tongue. You had to bite your tongue from saying what you wanted to say, and yet the burning was inside. A hot head and a hot heart can lead to burning words that later we will regret. And here it almost sounds like David maybe had a little problem with his temper, and he had to ask God to help him control it. It's no wonder that Solomon left us this advice in Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And then going back to Proverbs 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is a hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A fire not only starts small and grows and creates heat, but a fire can also defile. A fire might only be in the basement of the house, but the whole upstairs is defiled by the smoke. Fiery words can dirty a person as well as a home. And the only thing that can clean that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Fire burns and it hurts, and our words can burn and hurt. It's one of the sorrows that Jesus had to bear when he was here on this earth, was the way that the enemies talked about him. They called him gluttonous and a winebibber. Why? Because he accepted invitations to eat with people that the Pharisees did not like. When he performed miracles, they said he was in league with Satan. Even when he was dying on the cross, his enemies could not leave him alone, but threw vicious words into his face. Yes, fire spreads, and the more fuel it gets, the further it will spread. James says in verse 6 in chapter 3, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The tongue sets on fire the course of nature. In other words, an evil tongue pollutes not only a man's personal life, but it affects all activities that he has as well. As it spreads, fire destroys, and the words we speak have the power to destroy. Yes, our words can break hearts and ruin reputations. They can destroy souls by sending them into eternity without Christ. How important it is for us to let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, Colossians 4:6. And then James goes on and compares the tongue to a wild animal. A wild animal can be dangerous and it can kill. But these wild animals can be tamed by man, who can then get them to work, do something productive instead of destroying. But man's success with taming wild animals does not extend to the area of his own tongue. If we are honest, we will have to admit that this is also true in our lives. Because of the fall is why this happened. We have lost the control over this one small piece of flesh. Human nature does not have the ability or strength to tame this little member of our body. But there is one that can. That is God. God can tame that tongue. If we allow God to tame and control our tongue, just like an animal can be tamed and controlled, the tongue can be used as a mighty tool for the winning of the lost and the building of the church. Like the apostles at Pentecost, where 3,000 souls were converted because of the words they heard from the apostles' tongues. The important thing, of course, is the heart, for it is out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, Matthew 12:34. If the heart is filled with hate, Satan will use the tongue for his destruction. But if the heart is filled with love, God will use it for his purpose, for encouragement, for edification, for building his kingdom. Now, it is inconsistent to use the tongue for both good and evil purposes. James uses nature to clarify this. He says a spring of water cannot give both fresh water and salt water, nor can a fig tree bear olive berries or a vine figs. The same holds true for our tongue. Its words should be uniformly good. Our words reveal our character. We know the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We could also say, Speak unto others as you would want them to speak to you. How is it then that the tongue can produce two kinds of fruit, good and evil? 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. Says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Our human nature is that if someone tells me a few things that I do not like, it is my responsibility to fight back. To fight back with words, attempting to hurt the one that hurt me, or maybe even hurt him more than he hurt me. But that is not what Scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us to refrain from retaliation. But refraining from retaliation can be a challenge. But in verse 9, and Peter says, if we do that, we will inherit a blessing. But the words always seem to be ready to fight back. The devil knows that this is our weak point, and he will take advantage of it. But let us remember the Lord's blessing if we resist the devil. We would all agree that our tongue has gotten us into trouble many times. How many times have we not had to apologize for something that we have said? And it would have been much wiser if we would have chosen our words more carefully in the first place. In verse 12, the Lord hears our words that we speak to our neighbor. He is not pleased when we use harsh words. Even worse, he says he will not leave those unpunished that use his name in vain. And this is done so much today. God's name is used to swear at people, and God hears it every time. And if those people do not repent in this lifetime, they will receive a harsh judgment. And let us make sure that the name of God, or the name of Jesus, is never used as a swear word by us. This is a holy name. It is a name that needs to be reverenced. Apostle Peter says, the Lord is against those that do evil. But he also says, the Lord takes note of those that do good. The eyes of the Lord see, and the ears of him hear the prayers as well. So how is our tongue doing when we speak at home? Let's remember the behavior that we as parents model is very often copied by our children. Very often is not what is said, but also how we say it. Our home should be a place where we can feel at home, a place where we can feel safe, a place where we have a longing to go to. And we must ask the question, is it necessary that one needs to become angry so quickly? Can we not use self-control? And are we aware which spirit that is that influences us to be angry? In Psalm 141, verse 3 is a good prayer to have. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Here David is asking God to be the watchman over his words, over his lips, over his mouth. Let us continually examine ourselves. Is my tongue in control of me? Or can I, with the Lord's help, control my tongue? Yes, words are very powerful. They can do so much damage, but they can also do so much good. When we have one word that we can depend upon, and that is the Word of God, we have so much guidance and advice in God's Word to help us control our anger and also our speech. Yes, it shows us how to talk the way a Christian should talk. And when we talk, let us make sure that others can be encouraged, that others can hear that Jesus is in control of our heart. Let us use our tongue to speak well of others, to speak and sing praises unto our Lord. This is well pleased, will be well pleased and blessed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us not ever think that we will be able to control our tongue. Scripture is very clear. It says, yes, wild animals can be tamed, but he says this one thing cannot be tamed by man, and that is the tongue. But it can be tamed. It can be tamed by God. And so let us go to God and ask him to tame our tongue. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service this morning, we first of all want to thank you for being in our midst in spirit, leading and guiding this service. In this coming week, we asked you to do that, what we can't do. That is to control our tongue so that we can be a blessing and an encouragement to each other. May our words and our actions be a light in the community and to the world. Help us to encourage others to uphold your holy word. We see Christians and even churches caving into the world standards. We pray that they stay in the realm of your faith, which will open their eyes to see that even though the government makes laws, that they are not all according to God. We pray for our government that they will see that in order to have a God-blessed country, they need to be obedient to God and his word. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And whoever is able, let us kneel and pray that God will control our tongue. May the Lord hear our word, prayers, and be merciful unto us.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 64, Springs of Living Water. 64.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for that wonderful message, giving us a reminder to mind our tongues and our words. Thank you for that. I also want to thank the song leaders this morning and the pianist for introducing us to a new song. Thank you. And as far as the bulletin goes, today is potluck lunch, so hope that you guys will join us. And something to mark on your calendar is coming up on October 15th. They're planning on having a Thanksgiving lunch here, so there's more information to come. And by the looks of things, clubs is doing well. Two more teachers needed before we can plan a start date. So that is good to see. It wasn't long ago we were asking for helpers to start the clubs, and looks like only two more needed. And you can contact Myron Dick if you're interested in helping in clubs. And it also looks like there's still some help needed in Sunday school for class 17, class 19, and class 24. And you can contact Isaac Unrah or Abe Tightrope for more information, or if you'd like to help out in Sunday school. And there's also the sound booth, if anybody's interested in helping out in the sound booth. And then there is an invite for all the young adults 18 to 28. There's a young adult retreat being planned for October 27th to 29th, 2023, at the Valley View Bible Camp by McGregor. We would love to have you all there, but there's a limited space available, so please register as soon as possible. This will be a fun, God-filled weekend with lots of praising and worshiping along with some games and activities. So there's the contact people at the bottom, Peter and Margaret Lowen. They have their email address and also their phone number. And there's also registration forms now in the back on that table there. If you're one of these young adults and are interested, there's forms there now. And just going to the back of the bulletin, there's many people are still asking for prayer report support. So just keep them all in your prayers, that they will, that God will strengthen them and give them courage. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements, Brother Henry. And also thank you, the Song Leaders. It was a very fitting song, and we're so fortunate that there's only sweet water coming out of that fountain from Jesus Christ. I want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our service and song and in prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.